Hello, friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Before we take you to your favorite Sports History Network show, just want to tell you a little bit about some merch that you can pick up that represents your favorite SHN podcast. So far, there's t-shirts, coffee mugs, and even books from some of the authors that do podcasts right here on SHN. Who could buy something better than that than have the history right from the gentleman that you hear talking about it? But we also are adding things each and every day. And where's that store, may you ask? Well, it's at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Up at the top, there is the SHN merch button. Click on that. It'll take you right to the store, and you can be representing your favorite podcast and show the world that, hey, on the swag that I'm using, it's the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, Sports History Network, and my favorite podcaster, the Sports History Network store. Shop there today. You've dialed in the right number for this history hotline of football events. Today's podcast is full of legends of the games remembered, a unique cast of characters, and I think you're going to enjoy these stories, so stay tuned in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the pig pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hi, friends, and welcome to the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch Podcast. This is Darren Hayes from PigskinDispatch.com, and we are going to go through some great events today and some great legends of the game. So let's start this series and move the ball right down the field and move those chains. In this episode, we are going to focus in on the date of September 22nd and all the football history that has to do with it. So we'll start off in the modern era, September 22nd, 1987. On that day, the NFL players started a strike that lasted for 24 days. The players basically wanted free agency to be a bigger part of the agreement that they had with the NFL owners. They had technically had free agency for almost a decade at that point, but a clause in the contract known as the Roselle Rule stated if a player was signed from a team that the commissioner could review it and compensate the team losing that player with draft picks or players from his new team. As the 1987 season started, things were not going the way the players liked with the negotiations. So in week four of the season, they walked out and went on strike, thinking that they had leverage because of the television contracts the owners had. The NFL owners retaliated, though, with bringing replacement players to be somewhat of a disastrous experiment for ownership. The quality of play had dropped considerably, and the fans demanded the quality the league had started the season with. But star players like Joe Montana, Mark Gastineau, and Steve Largent started breaking ranks and crossing the picket lines. This eventually led to all the players returning back to work and playing in Week 7. Interestingly enough, the games played by the replacement players counted in the team's overall records. A few years in the future after that, 1991, September 22nd, Miami Dolphins head coach Don Shula won his 300th NFL game. Shula started his head coaching career in the NFL in 1963 with the Baltimore Colts at the age of 33. He spent seven seasons and tallied 71 wins in that position before leaving for warmer weather in Miami and staying at that post for 26 seasons. Don Shula won one NFL championship in 1968 with the Colts and then won two Super Bowls at the helm of the Dolphins, including the NFL's only undefeated Super Bowl team in 1972. All right, now we're going to change gears here, and we're going to celebrate the birthdays of the September 22nd throughout football history of all the legends of the games that became Hall of Famers in either the College Football Hall of Fame or the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we'll start off with September 22nd, 1862. Alex Moffat was a former halfback from Princeton University. The website for the National Football Federation, footballfoundation.org, refers to Alex as collegiate football's first great kicker. The legendary coach Amos Alonzo Stagg said Moffat invented the spiral punt in 1881 and changed thereby the whole science of punting. Moffat was the captain of his 1883 Princeton Tigers team, and that season, he proved worthy of the position. In the game against Harvard that season, Alex kicked five field goals, including two drop kicks with his right foot, then two others with his left. The final goal was booted from a place kick. The Tigers won seven games out of eight that fine season, as only the Yale Bulldogs defeated them in a 6-0 skirmish. The Princeton captain was a solid tackler on defense for the Tigers, making very few errors. And Alex was a stellar runner as well as a kicker. Moffitt's great 1883 season, with him totaling 7 touchdowns, 16 field goals, and 7 point after kicks. The National Football Foundation enshrined Alex Moffitt posthumously into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1971. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, to not only see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Fleet Marks Comics. Pigskin Dispatch is in the social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Pigskin Dispatch is also happy to be associated with the Sports History Network, the sports headquarters of yesteryear, found at sportshistorynetwork.com. We flip the pages of history just a little bit. We go to September 22nd, 1898. That was the birth of Hartley Hunk Anderson. He was a guard from the University of Notre Dame that played in the seasons of 1918 through 1921. His freshman season in 1918 is a significant one for Notre Dame football history, as it was the very first one that a man by the name of Newt Rockne was the team's head coach. Hunk Anderson blocked for George Gipp that season, and Rockne was heard to later say that Anderson was the greatest lineman he ever coached. After a single loss in his freshman season, Hunk and the Irish did not experience another loss in a football game until his senior season, when the Iowa Hawkeyes knocked them off in an upset. Against Purdue, Hunk blocked not one, but 2 punts, and then recovered them both in the end zone. With performances like those, Anderson played well enough that season to be a first-team All-American honor. The great collegiate lineman after college turned pro and played with the Chicago Bears for 4 seasons. He later returned to his alma mater and became the head coach after Rockne's untimely death in 1931. Hunk Anderson was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1974. A few years later, September 22nd, 1905, Larry Betancourt, a center from St. Mary's College of California, was born. Betancourt and his head coach, Ed Madigan, were instrumental in taking the tiniest school in Moraga, California, into the national college spotlight in the mid-1920s. During Betancourt's 4 seasons with the Galloping Gale of St. Mary's, the team registered 19 shutouts. Larry himself scored 12 touchdowns, mostly by blocking kicks and possessing them in the end zone. In 1927, he registered a blocked kick in 6 straight games. His blocking was equally up to the challenge, as he created large gaps for the runners by his aggressive blocking. He was picked as an All-American after the 1927 season. In 1973, he received the honor of being selected into the College Football Hall of Fame. Right around the time that those gentlemen were playing college football, we had a birth on September 22nd, 1922, and that was Ray Evans from the University of Kansas. He was a halfback that played for the Jayhawks during the 1940s. Ray was a phenomenal two-way player. In 1942, he led the nation in passing and also in interceptions. That season, he became only the second player in college history to complete more than 100 passes, 101, and his 10 interceptions on defense were the envy of all the defensive backs in the country. It was the only time in history to lead both categories, an offensive category and a defensive category of that stature in college football history. Evans played for the Jayhawks in 1941 and 42 and left the team to serve in the U.S. Army Air Force during World War II for 3 years. He returned to the Kansas team in 1946 to pick up where he left off before the war, leading Kansas in rushing, passing, and total offense. His final season with the team in 1947 was special for Kansas, as the team went 8 wins, 0 losses, and 2 ties, and earned the right to play Georgia Tech in the Orange Bowl. Unfortunately for the Jayhawks, the Yellow Jackets narrowly defeated them in a 20-14 thriller. A super athlete, Ray was a great basketball star for the Jayhawks as well. The University of Kansas retired Evans' number 42 jersey for football, as well as his basketball number of 15. After college, Evans played in the NFL for the 1948 Pittsburgh Steelers. In 1964, the National Football Federation awarded the great player in 1964 with the entry into their College Football Hall of Fame. On September 22, 1930, George Young was born. He was the former general manager of the New York Football Giants. He served in that position for 19 seasons with the team from 1979 through 1998. During his time with the G-Men, he drafted and signed NFL greats such as Lawrence Taylor, Phil Simms, and Carl Banks, and found a head coach that would be a legend himself in Bill Parcells. The Giants were not very good in the late 1970s when Young took the job, but when he left, he was able to pass by two Lombardi trophies, and he himself held an unprecedented honor of being the NFL's Executive of the Year five times. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined this great leader as a contributor in 2020 selection class. Next up, we have the birth of Bob Crable, born on September 22, 1959. Crable was a former University of Notre Dame linebacker from 1978 through the 1981 season. Crable may be the greatest tackler in Notre Dame's long history of great players. The linebacker, after all, holds most of the Irish records in tackling, including a career-high 521 tackles, 187 in a single season, and 26 in a single game. In 2006, he received the Butkus Silver Anniversary Award. Crable went on to play seven seasons in the NFL for the New York Jets as they picked him 23rd in the 1982 NFL Draft. Bob was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2017. The next legend is a really special one. Harold Carmichael was born on September 22, 1949. He was a 6 foot, 8 inch tall, 225-pound wide receiver from Southern University. The Eagles got a real steal as they picked him in the seventh round of the 1971 NFL Draft as the 161st overall pick. Carmichael played 14 seasons with Philly and led the NFL receptions in 1973, and he was named as a first-team All-Pro for that great season. He was also named as a second-team All-Pro player three times in his career and also played in four Pro Bowls. The Pro Football Hall of Fame selected Harold Carmichael to be a member of their Gold Jacket Club in the year 2020. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network, and we're able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know that. Can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you got to do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.